Carlo Cuda said that we're all born as originals, but many of us die as photocopies. All the saints became so original, so different from each other, so unique. Certainly that's the case with Carlo Cuda, who will be the first canonized member of the millennial generation. The first saint you're going to see with jeans and sneakers. And have you ever wanted to talk to the mom of a saint? How do you raise a saint? Well, today we were so blessed to get 40 minutes with Carlo Acutis' mom to ask just that question.
Ms. Acutis,
thank you so much
for this time.
It's a serious gift.
Thank you.
Yeah, praise God. A lot of parents blame themselves if their children leave the faith. With you, Carlo saved you.
Yes.
Can you tell us how he saved you?
Yes. It's a little bit, God loves to write different stories, no?
Mm-hmm.
And with me, he wrote a different story, really, because Carlo, for me, was like a savior, because his example, I was very far away from the faith. When I was young, I first went to the Holy Communion because I was going to a school that was Catholic, because I used to live in the center of Roma, Piazza Venezia, and around there were only Catholic schools. And so this is the reason why I was sent to a Catholic school, because of practical matter, not mm-hmm. because of a sentiment or Catholic beliefs. And all my class were doing the first Holy Communion, so I did as well the first Holy Communion. And this was my first Mass.
Yeah.
Then I did the confirmation, was the second Mass.
Wow.
Third Mass, my marriage. And when Carlo was born, he was really running in front of the time, I always say, because he was anticipating everything. 3 months, first word. 5 months, he started to speak. And also with the faith matter, he was always anticipating everything.
Hmm.
When he was 3 years old, he wanted to enter inside the church to pray Jesus, the cross. And really, he was naturally pious, very,
pious,
very religious. And of course, he asked me many, many questions, very deep questions. And I couldn't answer, because I was very ignorant. And these things make me very, uneasy, because I wanted to be an example for my child. I care very much about this. And the fact that in the faith matter I was so ignorant make me uncomfortable. And so once it happened, a very tragic events in my life, because my father, who was 57 years old, I was a lonely child. He died suddenly for an heart attack.
Mm.
And so these things, started for me to be a very serious sorrow, no?
Mm.
And 3 months after the death of my father, Carlo said that his grandfather had appeared to him, said that he was in purgatory and he needed the prayers. And Carlo told me about this. And of course, I trust Carlo because Carlo was not. I became very anxious, because what is the purgatory? What happens? Where will be my father? What can I do? No,
yeah.
And I was very lucky because somebody spoke me about a priest who was living in Bologna, and he was very old man, but very, very. He was called the Padre Pio of Bologna. And once I went for my work in Bologna, and I phoned him, and he received me straight away. When he received me, he didn't know anything about me. He told me, you have a son, a very special son. He has a very great mission for the church. You will see. I didn't understand this moment.
Yeah.
And then he confessed me, and he told me all my sin. What I had done, he had the gift of discernment of the spirit,
yeah,
like Father Pio. And so I was so shocked, you can imagine. And told me, you have to study theology. And in my spare time, because my work allows me to have a spare time, I attended some theology courses in the faculty of Milano. And so I started my path of conversion that I always say probably will end in the purgatory, because
wow,
it's very difficult to convert. But anyway, and Carlo was really the mean that God used to make me understand that Jesus is really present in the Blessed Sacrament. Because before I was like a Protestant. I thought that the sacraments were symbols, only rites, no? But nothing serious. Eh? Mm. Instead, through Carlo, I understood the Eucharistic miracles, all the way he spoke, the way he spoke about the Eucharist, that really Jesus is present in the Blessed Sacrament, that is his real presence. And this is the reason why I said Carlo, for me, was a savior.
So without you trying to force him to be holy, he was just drawn to it from the time he was a child.
And they start, in fact, we started our path together because Carlo did his first Holy Communion when he was 7 years old. Since then, he started to go to Mass each day, to do Eucharistic adoration each day. But me as well, I started to go to Mass each day, to do Eucharistic adoration each day, to pray the Rosary each day, and to read the Bible, the liturgy. Eh? So I started my path many, many years ago, when that was 1995.
Eh? Yeah.
So naturally, with Carlo, we used to go to Mass. When I couldn't, because I was away for my work, somebody always accompanied him. And this was our, the center of our day was the meeting with Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. Mm.
He also loved the poor and kids who were picked on. Tell us about that.
Yes, because we live in the center of Milano, and as you know, there are a lot of immigrants, unfortunately, that don't have anything. And they are obliged to sleep in the street under the roof of the big buildings.
Yeah.
And they were, around our area, there were many that were sleeping in the paper. Under the roof.
Oh, yeah.
And Carlo couldn't remain indifferent to this poorness. And he started to buy sleeping bags, blankets, to bring meals to these people. He was 9 years old when he started to organize himself like a charitas, domestic charitas. And he started to do all these things. And because, of course, he used to say, I have everything. I have a house. I have the love of my parents. Mm. I have all what I need. And these people are without anything. How can I be, quiet, peaceful, seeing this poorness? And he used to say always the quote of Mother Teresa of Calcutta, that we don't have to go to India or to Africa to find Calcutta. If Calcutta is under our house. So he applied the words of Mother Teresa, no? And he started to do his charity work. And he used not only to give meals, sleeping bags, but also to give advice. He prepared papers in which he wrote where to go for eating, to do the shower,
wow,
to take dresses, how to do for asking the government for a popular house. And so it was quite an entrepreneur. So he was very organized.
I'm really thinking about them.
Yes, yes,
yes. I love
sure he would have done something very big if he would have not died, because he wanted to do something for these poor and was in his intentions. Yes.
I'm sure a lot of people congratulate you now. That, I mean, your son is going to be canonized. I mean, your son's a saint. Do you find yourself ever wishing this had not ever happened? Is it hard to struggle with the joy mixed with the sorrow of losing him so young?
But listen, as I said, God prepares me because I did my path many, many years. So when Carlo died, I was prepared, you know?
Mm.
I know it's a big sorrow, of course, but I know that all what God decides is always for the best. Huh?
Mm.
We have to trust God. We have to say always our yes to God.
Amen.
And when Carlo, of course, died, for me was a big, but I was prepared to this. And the fact that now he's canonized, I'm not surprised, because a few months after he died, he told me, Mama, I will, in my dreams, he appeared to me in my dreams, and he said, Mama, I will be beatified and then I will be canonized. So I was already prepared. I passed my dreams. In fact, it happens. And now, probably, and we are very happy because we see that Carlo is doing a lot of good to people.
Oh, yeah, miracles.
Each year, each day, we receive a news of a possible miracle, healings, conversion, people
incredible,
that couldn't have the son or and then I became pregnant, or people that had no works, many different type of, especially healings, you know,
yeah.
And conversion. This is the most important for me, because eternal life is the most important thing.
Amen. You pray to your son?
Yes, of course. I ask Carlo to help me, to intercede me. And but I have also a very direct prayers to God always, huh? Mm. Oh God, and I always remind Carlo, please God.
Oh, yeah.
I pray very much God and the Virgin Mary, especially Jesus.
Amen.
For me, it's.
Amen. So Carlo's a saint, and he's also a teenage kid. What was his favorite video game?
But he loved very much video games.
He did.
PlayStation. When he was 8 years old.
He had a PlayStation? Yeah.
Yes. They gave us, Carlo, a PlayStation as a gift, an aunt. But Carlo had written in the newspaper. He knew very well English, because my mother-in-law is half English. And he wrote that in the United States, a lot of young people were in the clinic, in the hospital, because they are addicting of using too much these
video games.
Yeah. And so he was scared, no? Because he read that there were people with epilepsy or these things. And so he said, no, I mean, I don't want to, I will use maximum 1 hour per week. And he maintained always this goal, because he was very temperate, no? The virtue of temperance.
Mm-hmm.
He used the things, but in the right way. This is holiness.
Yeah.
We can use, play a video game, but in the right way. We don't have to, he used to say, we don't have to become slave of these technological things. We have to dominate.
Yeah.
This is the point. And nowadays, unfortunately, we see that some people are dominated by this technological, internet, smartphone, and video, and television, all these things, you know.
And he was never
dominated. We lose our freedom. We always are in front of this, you know. And this avoids us to pray, to read, to do some moment of silence also during the day, you know, which is important in order to grow in the personal relation with God.
Mm. Would you say that's the number one obstacle of kids becoming holy today? What do you think it is?
But I think the video games are very dangerous, because they it's like Carlo noticed that most of the young people that are using a lot these video games have the light of the eyes like switch on off.
Oh yeah.
You see that it's like because Jesus says that from the eyes you will see, no? The state of your, you see that really people that are addicted is
social media, video games, all of it. Yeah.
And unfortunately, there is also the problem of pornography nowadays. That for the young people is a very, very big, danger. Because they a lot of are addicted to these things, and they create the same synapses connection like with drugs. With alcohol, it's incredible. And also the video games modify, no?
Oh, yeah.
And it creates you a sort of addiction that you cannot to escape. It's very difficult to go away from these things.
Yeah.
So I think really we have to be careful, especially parents, not to, to give all this freedom to the children, to say sometimes no, because to say no is to say, I love you. Not always say yes, saying yes.
Amen.
And this is the problem. Eh? God sometimes says us no. No. Eh?
When our kids suffer, and this is an unfortunate reality, that's when you see the full greatness of their souls. And there was a beautiful quote I read from one of the doctors at the hospital.
Yeah.
So that Carlo was like a meteor with a quick passage through our ward. Leukemia took him away before we could get to know him even a little. However, his sweet eyes remain ingrained in our memories. His gaze was full of attention, of courage, of love, of strong empathy. His faith in God, which he had wanted to pass on to others, shone through him. His gentle eyes taught us a lot. What did he teach you in his suffering about how to suffer?
Apart from the fact that when he died, he offered his, before to, we knew that he had a leukemia, because it hides this illness behind a simple cold, no? Most of his classmates were were with this cold at yeah. house. And also Carlo had a sore throat, but behind this sore throat, there was a leukemia. And Carlo said, I offer my sufferings for the church, for the Pope, not to go to purgatory, to go directly to heaven. And we thought that he was joking, no? Because sometimes Carlo was very, you know, bright, smart. Instead, he was saying the truth. And when his illness lasted 7 days, more or less.
Wow.
And when once he woke up and he couldn't move, and so we decided to take him to the hospital. The doctor advised us to take him on the hospital. And during the driving to the hospital, he told us, I won't come out alive from this hospital. I will give you many signs. Always with a smile, never complaining, say, when the doctor were asking him, are you suffering? He used to say, there are people that are suffering much more than I, always with a smile. And really, he died as a saint. And the doctor were all astonished, all the nurses, because normally with this illness. And it was really incredible. And 2 months before to die, he had filming himself saying, I am destined to die when I will weigh 70 kilos. And when he died, it was 70 kilos. And he was looking with a smile to the sky and very happy because he was not scared about death. For Carlo, death was the passage through the through life. And for Carlo, his love was Jesus. So when you die, you meet Jesus. The only thing he used to say that we have to live like if each day of our life is the last day of our life. And he said that the only things we have to be scared is sin, because this can take us away for the eternity from Jesus. So the only thing we have to scare is this. And from a caterpillar, we will become like butterfly, papillon, how you say,
when
we die.
From a caterpillar to a butterfly, yeah.
And really, Carlo was not scared at all, and because he had the faith. And Carlo used to say that people who are scared about death, it means they don't have faith in God. They don't trust God.
Man, what a lot of grace that kid had.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
Yes. No, but surely we have to see the death like really the start of the fantastic life we have.
Yeah.
The only thing we have to be scared of is the sin. This is the problem.
When you have a peaceful moment, you're remembering him. What do you picture? What comes to mind first?
Probably, surely I remember his generosity, because Carlo was always never complaining. He used to say sadness is the glaze over ourselves, happiness is the glaze over God. Never complaining, always helping everybody, never speaking badly about anybody. He used to say silent, you know. He never, he didn't want to hear, you know, chat things. He didn't like. He was quite, and especially the love he had for the Eucharist, because it was incredible. And what he did for the Eucharist, because this exhibition over Eucharistic Miracle that is going all around the world in thousands of parishes and helping a lot of people to return to faith, you know.
Incredible.
And Carlo understood that these were, you know, were a sign that God gave us to strengthen our faith, because he used to say, if people will be aware about the importance of the Eucharist, which is the most supernatural thing we have in the world, because it's God among us with his physical, as Pope Benedict used to say, presence. Physical presence is the same like me and you in front. And the only thing we don't see. And so it's the I see queues in front of a concert, in front of a football match. I don't see these queues in front of a tabernacle. So the problem is the faith.
Carlo would complain about that, right? Like, why are people there?
Yes, he didn't understand how it was possible this.
Yeah.
And when we eat the Eucharist, we eat the source of love. It's important because Jesus in the Eucharist act ex opere operatus, ex opere operantis, means independently from the holiness of the priest who celebrate and from our fervor, no? So Jesus always act. The more we, you know, correspond to this love, the more he will do masterpiece in us. And this is the reason why the Eucharist used to call the highway to heaven, because through the Eucharist, really, you can transfigure your life. You can live in the co-eternity of God, because the infinite meets the finitude of the world. Mm. And all this sign that God is giving us through the Eucharistic miracle, that for the first time the signs is our light, because recognize them, is really something really fantastic.
I have six kids. Two of my teenagers are here. Any last advice for me trying to raise saints? They're doing pretty good.
I'm sure they're pretty good. But the advice is to speak about eternal life to your son, the importance, and also to speak about hell, the possibility of hell. Virgin Mary in Fatima, when she appeared, she told us, many souls go to hell because nobody pray and do sacrifice for them. Oh, yeah. So to pray for your children, all the parents have to pray, to do sacrifice for the holiness of your children, to pray all the day with your children, the morning, lunchtime, dinner time, before to go to sleep, to pray the rosary when you go, and to organize also trip to go to visit sanctuary, and speak about the saint, the life of the saint, all the fantastic things we have in the church. So it's important that the father and the mother are catechists. The first catechists are the father and the mother. To teach. We have really to be, and to accompany our children to the prayer life. Carlo used to say that God the Father has a throne in heaven, and also
a throne, also
Jesus. But the Holy Spirit has not a throne, because the throne of the Holy Spirit is our heart. And when we do the baptisms, we receive the presence of the Holy Trinity inside us. Mm. And the problem, what is it? We are all mystic, no? Carlo used to say, all the Christian, the baptized person are mystic. The problem is to grow in this personal relation with the Holy Trinity that is inside us. And to do this, we need during the day to give space to God, little space. And Carlo used to say that if all what we do for Jesus, in Jesus, and through Jesus, our life became a continuous prayer. Mm. So this is the secret. And I think it's possible for everybody. It's not so difficult. The important thing is to give space to God.
Mm, amen. Do you have any last word? I'm thinking of parents who lost a child, who don't have the consolation of their child being canonized a saint.
Yeah.
What would you say to that mom or dad who's maybe watching us?
I think that each one of us is special, unique. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, to be canonized is earthly things. No? The church choose some person as an example, but each one of us is called to be holy. Each one of us is unique, original, like Carlo used to say. And so they don't have to be afraid, because surely this child are with God. So it's not that somebody is canonized, so it's important, the other one is less important. No, there is a special vision that a very important mystic,
Saint Maria
Saint Alphonsus Maria de Liguori,
was
a bishop, and they used to see while he was celebrating Mass, he used to see always a woman that was dressed all in dark dress, very poor, very simple. She couldn't speak well, probably.
Yeah.
And but she was very faithful to the Mass, etc. Once she died, and Saint Alphonsus has a vision, and he saw this woman that was very high in heaven, and much higher than some saint canonized. So what this is just to say that is important. Everybody is called to sainthood, even if you are not known in the world. But important is that God knows you. Mm. So it's just to say that to these parents, never be afraid. Your children are in the fantastic life. The only thing we have to be scared is the sin, as I said. Mm. But God is very merciful, is a merciful, is infinite mercy. And he always want to forgive us. Important is to live in the proper way. But for the parents who lost the children, I say it's it's not the end of the everything. It's the start for them, for the eternal life. It's the start of the beauty, of the heaven. So that if they are, you know, they have to understand that this life is very short, respect to the eternal life. So even if, sometimes some people go before, some people go after. Normally we think that the parents are the one, the first that has to die. Sometimes God doesn't write different stories. But we don't have to try to be scared. Always trust God, because each creature is precious for God. So your son is with God, which is the most beautiful things you can.
Amen.
And we cannot think, because we don't have the category to think on paradise. But it's so fantastic. So
awesome.
Here we are pilgrim of the absolute. We are in a world, this world is full of problems. And so sometimes if they can achieve sooner, the eternal life is better. They don't have to do all the problems of the life, all the things, no?
Amen. Thank you so much for this. What a great gift. Could you lead us in prayer to Carla?
Yes, okay, we pray. So we ask Carlo to intercede, to ask Jesus to put God at the first place in our life. This is the most important thing. A life of success is a life in which we will put God at the first place in our life. And a life of failure is a life in which God won't be put in the first place. I heard that 70% of Catholics in the United States don't believe in the real presence of God in the Blessed Sacrament. So Carlo, I ask you to help United States people to go deeper in this mystery and to renovate the United States with the grace of the Holy Eucharist.
Amen. 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 Thank you so much.